Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I am Tim Wildman, as the announcer just told you. And joining me to co-host the program this morning is Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir. Proud to be here. Maskless.
Yeah, it'd be kind of hard to do a radio program.
There are those who are trying.
Okay. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
To do a radio program talking through a mask?
TV reporters. I was just talking about one I saw last night. He was all by himself out in front of a building, nobody around, and had a mask on.
Why would you do that?
Not sure. Not sure.
What's funny is to watch these folks driving down the road.
Yeah.
They're in the car by themselves.
Have not figured that
one out. Got the mask going on. Huh? What, Walker? How about that one?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they just forget to take it off. I don't know how you do that.
My wife made a good point. You know, this is revealing how many Americans are willing to do whatever the government says and the doctors say without question.
But what the question then is, what doctors are you talking to? Because I've heard doctors say the masks don't really do any good, namely Dr. Fauci.
There are some in our country who will, if the doctors say if you walk only on your left foot and hop and leave your right foot off the ground, then you might not get COVID.
You might not get COVID, but my back's going out. Oh, me, mask or not to mask? That's the question dividing our country right now, isn't it?
Yep.
You know where we live here, and I'm sure this is happening all across the country, not just where we live, but, you know, people are finding out where you can go eat and not have to worry about it.
Yes.
Or where you can go shop and not have to worry about it.
Yeah.
And again, hey, if a company wants to, like Walmart wants to institute, you have to have a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? That's their business.
Mm-hmm.
So they can mandate it if they want to. And guess what? Tim can decide, I don't want to go there.
Yep.
I can go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So now, in some cases, we have mandatory mask by cities, counties, or I guess some cases. Are there states that are mandating that? Well, they do
Alabama.
Mandate.
Alabama's starting today, I think it is.
Now what is that? What does that mean, by the way? Do you think you know?
It means if you're indoors, you wear a mask everywhere. That's what the that's what the order says.
From the governor?
Yes.
So you wear a mask. Now, you're going to go on vacation soon, right?
Yeah, we were going to my in-laws, we were going to go to Alabama, to the Gulf Coast, and we're not now because they're wanting people to wear masks down to the beach.
What do you mean?
You wear a mask when you leave your condo.
You leave your condo, you go and you put on a mask, and when can you take it off?
When you sit down at the beach.
What about if you get up?
Put it back on.
No, that's not happening.
That's why we're not going.
That's not vacation. That's kindergartner timeout right there.
Yeah, so we're on the search for
a free beach.
We're on the search for a constitution loving state that will house our family without.
Alabama's a deep red state. I'm kind of surprised they're instituting that. Do they have a rising?
Who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah,
South Dakota maybe.
Yeah, go up.
Have you looked at Destin?
Yeah, we've looked at some Florida places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're DeSantis is a pretty good governor. He said no more shutdowns and no mask mandate.
I mean, do you have to wear a mask? You're telling me. I'm sorry to get on this.
I'm so serious.
Okay, hold on just a minute. You're telling me you're on the beach, right?
You got it.
You got your family there. Everybody's got their towel spread out.
Mm-hmm.
Go in the water, walking around, doing a beach ball, and you got to wear your face mask?
Yes. That's insanity, is what it is.
Is that so? Who does a lifeguard come over there and arrest you?
I don't know. I don't know what the enforcement. Happened? I don't know how you enforce that, but it's ridiculous. Okay. Having to wear a mask. Well, first,
you know what they need to do now. That I ask you about the beach, but other places. Okay, I don't necessarily agree that face masks stop the spread of coronavirus. I agree with Dr. Fauci on this one. But if you think I'm misrepresenting Dr. Fauci, just go back and watch the video from March.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, where he said people can wear face masks if they want to, but basically it only makes you feel better.
That's right.
Because he did say it could prevent the spread if you're in really close contact to somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for...
Yeah, or if you're in a hospital or doctor's office, it may help.
That they do that anyway. Dentist office. If you're in somebody's face, obviously you wear a face mask. But just a normal walking around face mask, he said, Dr. Fauci said, don't help.
Right.
So anyway, I'm not. I know that sounds satirical or sarcastic, but I am citing Dr. Fauci on the face mask. But back to Alabama's in the building face mask.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I understand that somewhat. I don't agree with it, but the beach now or the lake.
When you go outside, right?
When you go outside, no, I don't see that. I don't. They need to make an exception, or you're gonna have a lot of cancellations.
Yeah.
For people wanting to go down to.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people at this point are looking for what's left of America when it comes to freedom. Like you said, people are shopping. Where they don't have to wear a mask.
Yep.
They're going on vacation where they don't have to wear a mask.
I feel, you know, we go eat lunch somewhere, you don't have to wear a mask, and I feel like I'm in the underground. I feel like I'm part of a criminal. You know what I'm saying? Hope the cops don't come in here and bust us all up while we're having lunch because we don't have masks on. All right, Fred. By the way, before we get to the other topics of the day, Walker, tell folks how they can follow us on the internet.
Yes, go to our website, afr.net. Our website, afr.net. You can not only listen live there, but you can also catch past shows of today's issues. And then you can check us out on Facebook and YouTube. Just type in today's issues on Facebook or YouTube and watch the show there.
If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. You're listening to American Family Radio. Okay, Fred, go ahead.
New York City.
Uh-huh.
Group of clergy yesterday decided to show support for police officers. So they have a demonstration. They're on the Brooklyn Bridge, marching along legally, these clergy, police officers from the New York Police Department. They are attacked by a group of bat-wielding, anti-cop, thugs.
Antifa types.
Mob.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, going to play you a little report from a Fox reporter, Aisha Hosni, describing the scene to you. Cut four.
It all started on the Brooklyn Bridge this morning. Some alarming video here shows a protester striking NYPD officers with a bar as a pro-police march made up of primarily churchgoers and law enforcement unions was just getting underway. Four officers suffered serious injuries. Chief of Department Terry Monahan, that's the highest ranking uniformed officer. He suffered minor hand injuries. The mayor has blamed coronavirus for the rise in gun violence. One police union president calls him a liar.
The criminals know we're not out there taking the guns. That's why you're seeing this violence. The mayor's lying to the public. The cops know it in the street. Members of the public know it.
Yeah, that's an understatement of the year. The mayor is lying to the public.
I watched that video, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, and I mean broadly generally speaking, the people that are going to do a march, for example, a prayer march, I think it was, for the police officers around the country, people who support police and law enforcement are peaceful, law-abiding people. If they want to have a march, a prayer march, I think it was churches,
Yes. Some
Christians, they should be allowed to do so without being... our side doesn't go get in the face of the other people when they want to march.
That's right.
And confront them and bring bats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. By our side, I mean, again, I'm speaking generally here. But the other side, the Antifa types, they want a confrontation. Mm-hmm. This is what they did in Charlottesville.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to relive that whole Charlottesville thing. And there was some, we know what happened there. There was one fellow who got in trouble for, well, he got convicted of running over and killed a girl mm-hmm. in his car. Mm-hmm. But what happened there was Antifa and others went and decided, hey, we're going to go down to this park and physically confront the people who are having their rally for the to keep the monument of Robert E. Lee in the cemetery or right. whatever like that.
Right.
They were just having a rally. Okay, now there were some bad actors there mm-hmm. on you know, who were neo-Nazis.
But it was instigated.
Neo-Nazis, but they went and were confronted, is what I'm saying, yes. instigating a fight. Mm-hmm. Where yeah. people got hurt. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying. So in this case, you have the prayer and the police. They're marching together to show support for the police officers who need support right now. And this group goes down there and decides we're going to wheel some bats out and do some confronting and shouting and intimidating of these people. Mm-hmm. And they ended up getting in a physical altercation with some police officers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And one guy was beating the cops over the head with a bat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's now, he got arrested. Scene. Did he get arrested?
There's several that have been arrested, and I believe it is the one of the cops who was arrested was Terrence. It was mentioned in that report, Terrence Monahan, and I believe he's the chief of the department, and mm-hmm. I believe he was in the early protests. He actually knelt with the Black Lives Matter people mm-hmm. to show support for their right to protest. This is how he gets rewarded.
Yeah.
He gets beaten up.
New York is descending into, I don't know, what do you descend into? Chaos?
It's yeah. anarchy.
It is.
Yeah. It's anarchy.
Yeah.
I would be really worried if I lived there. I would be trying to get out.
Yeah, yeah. You're getting to a point, and you've really been there for several weeks now, but it's not really safe to just go walk down the street.
No,
people
it's
being,
not.
People are being gunned down
yes.
the street.
Yes. Well, they're being cold-cocked randomly. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you call that when you...
You just knock them out?
I've seen that. Elderly
senior
people,
citizens.
Senior yeah. citizens walking down the street.
Pushed into the road.
Yeah. Now, sometimes we get an image or two and that becomes larger than the reality, right? We know that with TV and cameras and now cell phones. However, I don't think we're overstating this now because this is happening every day in New York City. Of course, you got 8 million people that live there mm-hmm. in the city area, not to mention the, but I'm just talking about the five boroughs there. But Walker, you've had 10 to 15% of New Yorkers in the last 4 months have left.
Yeah.
Not to come back, right?
Yeah, you're getting into the thousands, if not more. Tens of thousands of residents in the New York area, New York City area, that have fled to other states to live permanently, which you see that with the real estate.
That's going to continue.
Yeah,
though.
The real estate openings in New York City are higher than usual because everybody's leaving their homes. Mm-hmm.
Property values are going to go down. Go down.
Yeah, so people are fleeing New York City. I know a couple people who've left New York City. They were leaving on a temporary basis for the coronavirus, but now they're thinking about just staying out of New York City permanently. So when you have unsafe cities, then people don't want to stay there.
Okay. Now, this isn't, yes, we are conservative here in our ideology, but there are liberal people.
Yes.
Who live in New York. Mm-hmm. Who are pleading now with the mayor to quit attacking the police.
Yes.
I saw last night, it was an African-American. Do you call him a city council member? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Who I'm talking about? He's an African-American. He's one of the city council, mm-hmm. leading top spokespeople for the city council. He's an African-American guy in New York City, and he's saying, De Blasio, the mayor's got to quit attacking cops, quit dismantling our police force. It's going to hurt our community.
Hmm. There's no question about
yeah.
it. It's no question about it. And to that point also, the National Association of Police Organizations, late yesterday, they've endorsed President Trump's reelection campaign. Now, this is the same organization that in 2008 endorsed Barack Obama for president, and again in 2012. So now they are saying no, and the reason very clearly, they say, listen, this president is supporting us, and the Democrats are not. Joe Biden is not. And I think this kind of feeling of frustration, but also people, we're getting to the point where people are saying enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump is the one out there speaking and saying that we need to support our police officers. This idea of defunding our police departments in the midst of this anarchy is idiotic. And to that point, Mick McHale is president of the National Association of Police Organizations. And here he is saying why his organization is endorsing President Trump and not Joe Biden.
As a result of the outcome of today's endorsement process, we proudly endorse President Trump. President Trump addressed our board on Monday. The same opportunity was given to Vice President Biden. And as to why the actual participation did not occur, I would defer you to the Vice President and or the leadership of his campaign.
Now, that's very important. They invited President Trump to address their board, and they invited Joe Biden to address their board. Trump does it. Biden doesn't show up.
Yeah.
I'll speculate, but I believe this is accurate. Biden didn't show up because he doesn't want to
against the police.
Yes, he doesn't want to get on the bad side of Black Lives Matter and AOC and all the other leftists.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer for someone like President Trump, and you think it would be the case with former Vice President Joe Biden, but across the board, the vast majority of citizens, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, want safe cities. They want safe communities. I would bet if you poll voters, the vast majority would say they want safe communities. And so, but Joe Biden, by supporting Black Lives Matter organization, Antifa, and all the other anarchists, he's secluding or pushing away the vast majority of America that wants safe communities.
Mm-hmm.
And President Trump has taken the common sense approach that we need law and order in order for cities to thrive.
Well, common sense. Yeah, common sense, absolutely, but constitutional.
Yeah.
And for the survival of our country, you can't have this anarchy spread to other places, this anarchy, this lawlessness, this violence. I mentioned a few minutes ago, I'm reading from a website called blackenterprise.com. I'm not familiar with it, but I know blackenterprise.com. And I was looking up this article I was referring to earlier. It says black leaders call on New York PD to bring back anti-crime unit.
Yeah, imagine that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what I'm saying is these folks, I'm sure, are Democrats, and they vote liberal. But they're saying, they live in New York, and they're saying, hey, disbanding the police and diminishing the police is hurting the African-American community in New York City.
Yeah.
Mayor, stop it.
Yes.
So you got liberals fighting liberals here on this thing.
Well, black people are being murdered in New York City.
One-year-old. At a barbecue.
Yeah.
Sitting
outside
at a barbecue. With a family barbecue, and a one-year-old gets shot
and killed.
Yeah.
And that's what instigated a lot of anger here.
Yeah.
Now Sharpton is going to hold a rally, you know he is, for the one-year-old child who was shot.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, one of the most basic functions, and you mentioned this about the Constitution, one of the most basic functions of government from day one of our country has been to preserve peace and order and protect life and property, and now you have an entire party that is rooting and shaping their policies around anarchy.
Yeah.
Okay, let's be clear, and we're not making this up. you have the police union. What's the proper name of it?
The police union is the National Association of Police Organizations.
Okay. The national, okay, I'm assuming, so that's like a police union? Is that what that is?
Well, no, it's representing police departments, police officers across the country.
Okay, so they actually endorse, they do political endorsements.
Yes.
And in
2008 and 2012.
2008, 2012, they endorse Obama, Biden.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, for president, vice president. Now, they switched to support a Republican, Donald Trump, over Joe Biden, because now Joe Biden won't even give him the courtesy of speaking to them.
That's right.
So this is astounding, quite frankly.
And didn't even call and say, I can't make it. He just ignored them.
Yeah.
Right. So he's dissing them. He's and the politics of this is, I think your presumption is right, Fred. Joe Biden doesn't know what to say to them because he doesn't want to support police because that angers the Democrat Party base.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's better not to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking politically now, not what's right and wrong. Okay. Mm-hmm. So his advisors tell him, Joe, look over here. And then... Nobody got that? Huh? Joe, forget the geese, man. Look here. Mr. Vice President, we're talking to you.
Yeah.
You can't speak to this police group, okay? Because the your base is against the police. They want to dismantle, disfund the police. So that's what we got going on here.
That's what we have going on here. Yeah. And it goes to our point that we've discussed already this week on this program, is that Joe Biden is now under the thumb of the far, far, far left of his party.
Yeah.
No mistake about it.
I guess he's thinking, their campaign is thinking, listen, if they believe the polls, and I guess we're up 5-10 points, some say more.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to run the clock out. I know it's July, but we just need to not come out of the basement, maybe do a debate or two, and hope that the anti-Trump sentiment will carry the day for us in early November. That's a risky approach to take politically, but I guess that they think that's the best one, because if he gets out on the road, does Vice President Biden starts making speeches, it's not going to be not going to be good.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah,
for his image.
But a lot is happening already in, I think, President Trump's favor. We now know that Joe Biden is under the thumb of the far, far left of his party. I mean, that's being proven every day. Joe Biden gets out there this week and talks about a true $1 trillion green plan that AOC and Bernie Sanders wants.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to it's going to shut down our fossil fuel industry in this country, raise fuel prices, cost more taxes, your take-home pay is going to go down. All President Trump has to do right now is let Joe Biden go to it and then launch a campaign saying, this is going to be your life under Joe Biden.
Yeah, I think Dad's right. You know, Joe Biden can't stay in the basement until November 3rd.
Nope.
He's got to get out. They're going to have to debate.
Mm-hmm.
And when he does...
Go ahead.
That'll be the end of the Biden presidency.
That's very interesting. You should say he, quote, has to debate.
Hmm.
I thought the same thing, but there's a couple of possibilities there that the Biden camp will try to get out of any debates at all with the president. Now, I'll tell you about their strategy to do this, perhaps, when we return from this break. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We'll be back in a minute.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
And they're using the pandemic, which some call the plandemic, as a ruse to restrict what can be done in and out of church. Within church, you can't sing now in California.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
The other day, I received a letter from a worker at the Union Pacific Railroad. He was a bit upset over the company's decision to offer diversity and inclusion classes. The classes meant for white people taught by blacks on how not to be a racist. Another worker sent me an internal email inviting employees to share stories about systemic discrimination. Union Pacific says just saying you are a racist is not good enough anymore. You have to actually work to be anti-racist. Clearly, workers should be able to do their jobs free from any sort of discrimination based on the color of their skin. But to presuppose that people are inherently racist because they are white is simply outrageous. Union Pacific said their ultimate goal is to create an environment where workers can bring their whole self and thrive. And here I thought the goal was to make the trains run on time. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Yes, he's my son. I have two and a daughter. That's how he got this job.
Is that something you're proud of? Are you proud?
I am proud of you, son. I am proud of you.
Good.
You need a self-esteem boost today or something?
No, okay. I'm just wondering. I didn't know if you were saying, making that connection as a thing of honor.
Yeah. Fred Jackson, who's not related.
Brother in the Lord.
Well, that's true.
There we are.
Brother in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. How did Fred get this job?
Fred, my dad hired him. Your granddad hired him.
Uh-huh.
What, 25 years ago?
24 years ago. Almost.
Wanted to start a news service.
Well, he thought we needed some diversity, and he said, go get that Canadian dude.
That's right.
No, he did. Well, you've been here 25 years now?
Just passed my 23rd year.
23 years.
Into 24 now. Just came down one time way back there in 1996.
Where were you working?
I was working for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, which is kind of Canada's NPR, up in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Uh-huh.
And the journalistic policy was going downhill, and I really felt the Lord leading me towards doing something in Christian broadcasting. Came down to have a look.
How'd you find out about the job?
Very interesting. My wife and I met at Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. So one day in September 1996, I called our former pastor in Springfield, Missouri. I said, can you tell me, is there any Christian radio going on down there? And he said, well, there's a group, American Family Radio, just opened up a station here in Springfield. Gave me the phone number, talked to the manager there at AFR or American Family Radio in Springfield, Missouri, And he said, well, I think they're starting a new service down there at the home base in Tupelo. Called down here, and I talked to Bill Fancher, who was here at that time. Mm-hmm. And I said, can I come down just to have a look around? He said, sure. So I came down, had a look around. And Bill and I were going to have a Sonic, and I was going home. And your
Did
dad,
you know
your
Bill?
No. I didn't
so
know anything.
So you came down from Vancouver to Springfield.
Well, no, not to Springfield.
You came to Tupelo.
I came to Tupelo.
From Vancouver, just from to visit on your own.
Flew down. There's another story there. Called up, went to the Yellow Pages. You know, American Airlines is number one when you go to airlines.
Yellow Pages.
Yellow Pages. Walker's looking at you like, what are you talking about?
Oh, that thick phone book.
That thick
phone.
I call their 800 number, and I said, I need to go to Jackson, Mississippi. All right. They said, we're starting a sale today. It was like $280 return from Vancouver to Jackson, Mississippi.
Wow.
So drive up here, have a look around, about to leave after I have my little look around, and your dad, Tim, comes along and said, make sure you come in and see me before you leave.
That sounds like that.
Okay.
Except you got to have a deep south southern deep drawl.
That's right.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. He said, you want to come down here and be the news director and head up our news team? And I said, yes, sir, because I felt it was the Lord right there.
And well, there, it was.
It was. It was.
It was God. God, how does a guy get from Vancouver to Tupelo and then get a job offer the day he visits? You came down here. You came down here just to see us, find out what we were all about. And here you are
23 years plus later.
23 years later.
And never a dull day.
No. And for those wondering, my dad is still, he's retired. He's 82. But he's retired from, you know, leadership here at the ministry. But he still with us and doesn't get around quite as well as he used to. That happens to everybody if you live long enough, pretty much. If you're wondering. So, hey, real quickly, before we get back to the news, our tours for September are still on. If you want to go with us, we've got the what we call Spiritual Heritage Tours. We're going to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, extremely interesting site, and Yorktown. Three very key cities, towns, the area there in Virginia to our country's founding. Lots of stories to be told. And Stephen McDowell, the Providence Foundation, our historian, will be with us to tell those stories and answer questions. So we'd love to have you if you want to go with us September 13th through the 16th. We have some seats available. Also, the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon tour is on to for September 16th through the 20th. So you can do those, both of those with us, or you can go choose which one of those tours you want to go and join us. My wife Allison and I will be hosting. So all you need to do to read all about it is go to spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com is the website for more information on those tours. All right, Fred, next story.
All right. Josh Hawley is a Republican senator from Missouri. And before he got that job, he was the attorney general of that state. So he knows something about the law. Well, this morning, he has contacted the attorney general of the United States, William Barr, and he wants William Barr to launch a federal civil rights investigation into the behavior of the circuit attorney, Kim Gardner, in St. Louis. Kim Gardner is a Democrat. She's an African-American woman. And she is the one that is leading a charge against that couple, Mark and Patricia McCluskey. They are the ones that were confronted by a mob in their neighborhood. They come out with their guns, Mr. and Mrs. McCluskey, because their homes were being threatened. And we now know that these protesters weren't just walking by. They knocked down the gate to the community, and they also said things to the McCluskeys like, we're coming in to take over your home. All right? So this couple was afraid. So now we know Kim Gardner sends the police over there with subpoena to take away their gun. They took away the gun that was being held by Mr. McCluskey. And according to Josh Hawley, there is no question about it. In taking away that gun, that Kim Gardner has violated the laws. He said, Josh Hawley says, there's no question under Missouri law that the McCluskeys had the right to own and use their firearms to protect themselves from threatened violence, and that any criminal prosecution for these actions is legally unsound. He says the only possible motivation for the investigation then is a politically motivated attempt to punish this family for exercising their Second Amendment rights. And this story, believe it or not, from the Associated Press, points out that Kim Gardner also has had butted heads with police leaders, especially after she developed an exclusion list of more than two dozen police officers who were barred from serving as primary witnesses in criminal cases over what Gardner called credible concerns. Wow. And that move even angered the police chief of St. Louis, John Hayden, who, by the way, is also black.
Yeah. Yeah, the prosecutors in this case, or the prosecutor, turning her head away from all of the rioting, the looting, the assaulting police officers, and in this specific case, breaching private property and vandalizing on the way to the mayor's mansion or the mayor's house, ignoring all of that, not prosecuting that, not investigating that, just going after the law-abiding gun owners. Mm-hmm. That is very, very concerning from a legal standpoint. So I hope that the DOJ does look into it.
I'm sure that they will, because you can't just go in. These people were standing on their property with their licensed weapons being threatened by this mob. And then Kim Gardner sends the police with a subpoena. Mr. McCluskey was interviewed this week on Fox, and he said the police were so polite. And really, his opinion, they didn't want to be there because really they had no legal grounds other than being ordered by Kim Gardner to be there to take away that weapon. But this is just another incident to go along what we were talking about in the first half hour of the program. This is the kind of thing that's really starting to scare people in this country when you have Democrat leadership, whether it's legal, political, whatever the case be, basically going rogue. They're going rogue.
Yeah.
And giving more power to people who are thugs and mobs than they are to protecting the rights of innocent citizens.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be this election shaping up. This election, by that I mean the fall election with president and senators and so forth, shaping up to be a real, real, real contrast in political viewpoints.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
President's law and order.
Yeah.
The Joe Biden, the Democrats, or lawlessness.
Yes.
Now, they wouldn't call it that, but that's in essence what it is. Therefore diminishing or defunding the police in our country. That's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
to our, I don't know what it's an answer to. What's that an answer to, Walker? So that police can't brutalize people?
So we
don't have police at all?
No, this is not about making people's lives better. At the core of it, this
you
is
mean
about
what
Marxism.
What the Democrats are promoting?
Yes, this is about destroying law and order so that the Marxists can take over, which actually leads to more government control.
Want law and order. They want it controlled by their guys.
Yeah, by the federal government. You look at it seems as if they're going after the government, which is the law enforcement. But in reality, these are people who are for huge government overreach, such as forcing people to wear masks throughout various states. So this is not a libertarian, we need less government. This is a let's dismantle the one thing holding our society together, the law enforcement, and then let's replace it with a more federalized
force. A Venezuela
force.
Type operation.
Yes. That's why President Obama sends in 40 FBI agents to Ferguson, Missouri.
Right.
It's not because they don't like power and control and order. No, they do, but they like it from the very, very top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, again, as we said yesterday, what the Democrats, too, are promoting, and all this is under the banner of social justice.
Yes.
And so they view their way as justice. So, again, on the matter of illegal immigration, what the Democrats are promoting is that we in essence should have no borders, and we should welcome the world into our country and pay for their health care, mm-hmm. their housing.
Mm-hmm.
We need to empty the prisons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the things that they're promoting. And, you know, that begs the question, if you're for open borders or no borders, right? So you have no border control. You don't prohibit anybody. That's what Biden said. He's not for detaining anybody.
Nope.
So if you're not going to detain anybody at the border for coming here illegally, why have border patrol down there at all?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Doesn't that stand to reason?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you take away border patrol, you just don't have borders. That's mm-hmm. what the Democrats are in favor of, because to have borders is xenophobic,
mm-hmm.
and it's they got a couple of other phobics they tag on there, but xenophobic or against brown people,
racist.
They got things that they use
mm-hmm.
if you want borders.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're keeping brown people from coming into our country, and that's racist. That's the way these people think, right?
That's right.
Okay, so if you're going to do that, I was talking to Alice, my wife, about this. I said, when we go to Israel next March, why do I even need a passport to get back into the U.S.? I may need a passport to get into Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed to me we need to do away, if we're not going to have borders, if we're not going to detain people, then why at these international airports do we want to even have passport control?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or customs.
Yeah.
Or
TSA.
Maybe have customs to prevent, you know, a bad vegetable from coming in. I don't know. but TSA, now they would say TSA, they would probably say that's a, I don't know. They would probably say that's a safety issue. But you shouldn't have to have. Here's my point. If somebody wants to come here from Africa, or anywhere in China, or anywhere in the world, and they want to come to the United States,
mm-hmm.
they should not have to have a passport.
That's right.
To gain entry into our country,
mm-hmm.
because that is discrimination.
That's right.
Against.
Mm-hmm.
Now you might put passports on white people.
Yeah.
Huh? Because mm-hmm. that way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They come in from Europe and they're white, make them have passports. Everybody else, y'all come.
Yeah, logically, you're not going this isn't going to make sense. You can't logically explain how these things are good for America.
You mean tell everybody to come here? We're not going to stop?
Yeah, open borders. There's no way that's good for our country.
That's what Biden is for.
Yeah, they're for chaos. They want chaos. That's how you bring down America.
Why would you want to bring down your own country?
Because then they take control. This is what they do all the time.
Yeah.
The Democrats. This is why you create Obamacare, even though you know from day one.
To these questions, folks.
It's not going to work.
I'm not our quarter.
They say we need centralized government run health care. Mm-hmm. And then behind closed doors they're all going, y'all know this isn't going to work. This has never worked throughout human history. Centralized government run health care. But they create it, they implement it, they put it out there, and then it all falls apart.
Yes.
And then they go, well, we just need a Medicare for all.
I don't know. They would probably argue, yeah, it does work. It works in Europe, for example. You have
Well, the chief architect of Obamacare said, the professor said, we set this up and we all knew it wasn't going to work. This was a step towards Medicare for all.
Okay. So what we have going on here, in your view, and this is a sinister view,
or a realist view.
Yeah. By the way, folks, I agree with what Walker's... I'm just trying to get it out of...
We're having lively
discussion. Well, I'm trying to get it out of you so that people understand. Mm-hmm. Because the questions I'm asking are what the comeback would be from the left, or, yeah. or if people would say, "Y'all, this is conspiracy mm-hmm. theory stuff that you're into here." No, it's out in the open. It's out in the open. The Democrat, this isn't your grandpa's Democratic Party. This isn't the party of JFK. This is not even the party of Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about his political views, not his other things that he's involved, has been involved in.
Yeah,
Bill Clinton would be unacceptable. I would argue that should Barack Obama today run for president on the Democrat side, as the candidate he was in 08 and 12, he would be unacceptable to the Democrat Party today because he'd be viewed as too conservative. Now, but what you got going on here, the reasons you would say, well, why would a major political party be against controlling immigration? Because that seems like a national suicide mission. Well, two things here. They do want to embrace socialism / Marxism. They do embrace it mm-hmm. openly. Bernie Sanders, AOC, and some would say they want to bring down. Well, they do. They want to. Black Lives Matter, another key organization in the Democrat Party structure. They say on their website, "We want to destroy or dismantle the nuclear family." Mm-hmm. The founder of Black Lives Matter says that we are trained Marxist.
Correct.
So when I'm saying these things, when we're talking about these things that sound nuts, we're not.
The Democrats are.
We're not having to read between the lines. Yeah. They put it in plain black and white. They say it out loud. When Joe Biden doesn't want to speak to the police group, the national police group, he's saying, "I don't want to be attached to you or involved with you. I don't even want your endorsement because I don't believe in your work." Mm-hmm. Am I right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actions speak.
So, again, I don't think if you surveyed the average Democrat voter out there, they would say, "Yeah, I want to dismantle the country as we know it." But the people that have now gained control of the Democrat Party apparatus at the top, they do want to revolutionize. They do want to change America. They want to take down statues of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. They want to eradicate mm-hmm. yeah. our history mm-hmm. and our heritage and our constitutional republic and replace it with. Well, what model would they use, Fred, to say we want to replace it with? Some kind of European?
Yeah, let's
maybe
try,
model?
Venezuela.
That's Venezuela
work,
type?
It's working real well now.
North Korea.
Yeah, North
Russia.
Korea.
Russia.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they would say, yeah, sign us up for North Korea. But
well, the their ideology.
They got a utopia in mind where you do get.
Yeah.
You do get rid of the Constitution. You get rid of the Bill of Rights. You get rid of somewhere. You got to get rid of the Christians,
right?
Huh? Because they're a real problem.
Yes.
And the Jews.
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know
what I mean?
Yes. Well, their actions lead to countries like Venezuela, North Korea.
Oh,
and
I
these
know.
Other
in the
totalitarian
end, you're right.
Regimes.
No, yeah, absolutely.
That line of thinking ends up, and it may be 100 years down the road, but
that's where you end up if you get to the end of the yellow brick road. Of
yes.
The red brick road, how you like that?
Red brick.
You get to the end of the red brick road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's where you end up, exactly
sure.
what you're saying. But people don't, I don't think people sign up for that initially who vote Democrat to say that's where we want to go. But that's where you end up if you follow what the Democrat Party has nationally embraced now. That's what I'm saying.
We've talked about how our university system has indoctrinated our kids. But the university system.
With leftist
professors. Yeah. But the leftist professors never tell the end of the story of where Marxism takes you.
Right.
That's the problem. So these right. young kids are out there idealistic.
Right.
They've been taught.
They're woke.
They've been taught that American capitalism is totally evil. Our democratic system is totally evil. That we need to give control to a whole new group of people who are going to take care of everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to have equal pay. Everybody's going to have free medical care. Everybody's going to have free education. Yes. The professors never stopped to say, now we haven't get to the point where who's going to pay for this.
No. No.
It's just,
you know, I mentioned, yes, no, you're right. I mentioned this is not conspiracy theory. This is out in the open now. It used to be that the Democrats would hide some of this because they knew it was unacceptable to the American people. I'm talking about 5-10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But now they feel like they have the wind at their back since what's been happening with the marches and so forth. But again, how do I cite that this is out in the open? Take Colin Kaepernick, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Kaepernick, the guy who led the kneeling of the protest to kneel at the national anthem that spread across the National Football League, he said on July 4th, "I don't celebrate your white Independence Day."
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm paraphrasing, but that I'm not mischaracterizing what he said. Black people have been mistreated by white people since this country's inception, and I reject. He's saying I reject America.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what he's saying, Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
If you find the multi-million-dollar contract with Nike, ironic. Given the fact that he hates capitalism, he lauds Fidel Castro.
Yes,
Colin
yes.
Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. Okay, keep in mind he wears socks that shows police officers as pigs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making this up.
No,
This is what this guy believes in. Mm-hmm. So, and he gets a contract from Nike, and now the NFL. I don't know if they're going to make him some sort of hero. He's being made out to be a hero. Yes. This guy hates our country.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just he's taking a knee against police brutality.
Mm.
If that's against black folks. Now, if that's what he wanted to do, okay. I don't agree with that. I don't agree. The statistics don't bear that out, that that's a serious problem.
Yes.
But if he wanted to protest that, that's one thing. No, he goes far beyond that, as these leftists do.
Yes.
They go far beyond that. They'll take an issue like police brutality, and this is what's going on, and they'll exploit it, and they'll say to the masses, you know, come join us in our crusade, although they would probably...
They wouldn't call it a crusade.
They would probably reject the idea of a crusade because that was a bunch of white Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
But you get the idea, come join us in our movement.
Mm-hmm.
And their movement is to take down our country as we know it.
They do use the term revolution.
Yes.
That's the term they use.
Yes. So, and this is now being adopted. This is why it's important. This is whatever you think of President Trump, whether you don't like him, you love him, you hate him, whatever the case may be, you can look at what he's done, what he stands for, what he says, his politics, his tweets aside. I think you should probably take that in for most of them, because a lot of it doesn't matter to politics or to policy, I should say.
No.
But look over here, your other choice, a party that wants to bring down our country as we've known it.
Yes.
And to open the borders to anybody and everybody, basically destroy the nation.
Yes.
Yep.
I don't know how else you look at that.
Yep.
We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.